If you could speak a language such that someone who couldn't understand you before could now hear you clearly, what is it that you would want to say? If you could find somebody who was alone in a crowd of people, alienated from the world around them, what is it that you would want to tell them? If you were lost in a sea of strangers and suddenly heard a voice of clarity coming through the noise, what would it say? I always appreciate the reminders that the world of Jesus and the early church looked a lot like our own. Here the disciples are gathered in a room in a city full of people from all over. This isn't the upper room of that Easter evening, the room which they retreated and hid after the crucifixion and the stories started to percolate through, only to have Jesus burst into their midst. No, in this room, they've already seen the Lord. They have seen Easter and the resurrection, and now they're wondering how to be church, how to be God's people charged with mission. They are living in a world that has come together in unexpected and unfamiliar ways. The Roman Empire has spread over the Mediterranean, and peoples who didn't know that one another existed now live in the same world with one another. The ancient world didn't have a concept of race exactly, but they did have a concept of ethnicity, of language, of a peoples. And they had forces pushing them together toward in-group and out-group dynamics, the us versus them, the hierarchies of who matters and who is forgettable and ignorable, sitting in that room, wondering how to be God's missional people, wondering how to speak God's word into this world of people from so many places. How to speak? What is it that they would speak? A people gathered into a room, surrounded by a world that looks different than previous generations imagined it to. A world where people from so many places are coming together in so many ways. A people always wondering how best to carry God's message, what message to carry anyway into this world. If we draw enough parallels, will there soon be tongues of fire above anybody's heads in here? Like ancient Rome, the forces of empire reshape the world around us today in ways that bring both promise and challenge. Proxy wars fought throughout the Middle East destroy countries and communities, sending migrants in search of places to live peaceably. The criminalization of drug addiction bursts the power of gangs throughout Central and South America, sending refugees fleeing from violence. And add to this more mundane causes like the ease of global travel, rising standards of living that allow for more mobility, a communication system that makes the foreign things familiar so much more quickly. The world is getting smaller and tighter and more open and available, and we are at best learning to navigate this new terrain as we go. And add into this mix the slow unfolding climate disaster with which we are living, and the ongoing threat of nuclear-armed nation states, and social media that alienates as much as it connects, and the difficulties of ancient empire are multiplied in our midst. Sitting in that room and wondering how to be part of God's mission in this world, wondering how to speak and what to speak. When I find myself considering these things, I tend to see myself drawn toward one of two options, either a sense of despair at times at the problems that we see, a resignation or an apathy that the world is as it is and there is nothing that can be done, or on the other hand, a sort of angry panic, an anger toward some group that I can find to blame. I can do nothing on the one hand, or I must do everything on the other. Paul writes to the Romans that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God by adoption, that all who are led by the Spirit of God cry out in co-witness with God. That language, adopted children of God, has two sides to it. In one sense, Paul wants to say to the Romans and to us today that you, the baptized, have a connection to the Creator of the world that is an unbreakable bond. The one who made you has declared you loved and held in eternity. That wholeness that is God, that is what you are baptized into and connected to forever. But there is another side to it. In ancient Rome, children were most often adopted for the express purpose of carrying on the family legacy. Sometimes they were even adopted as adults to do this, to carry on the family's work, to further the family's mission. So when Paul says that we are made adopted children of God, he is not only highlighting a new relationship or a new identity that we are given by God, but also the shared work into which we are baptized, the shared work of being co-witnesses with Christ to the reality of who God is. It is this word that the disciples are led to speak in words that can be heard by so many. Inaugurated into this mission, the disciples go from this room and speak the word of God into reality. Led by the Spirit of God, they went out and they said, we don't really know what they said in that day, do we? And I suppose that's just as well. The story doesn't tell us what they said, just that what they said was heard and understandable. I think that fits with the mission of Jesus, which was not one of magic words or cure-alls. The mission of Jesus was one of loving encounter with the person that stood before him. Faced with a world that looks like our own in so many ways, the one we follow was not overwhelmed by despair or apathy, nor pushed into a rash anger, but rather lived a commitment to recognizing the God-given humanity of each person he encountered. Living in a world that drew so many of the same lines that our world draws, lines of language, of religion, nationality, and gender, the God-sent one spoke to the Roman soldier, the Samaritan woman at the well, the Jewish Pharisee, the blind and the lame that the others ignored, as they truly were, as beloved creations of God. And this was a word that was understandable by all. This was a language in which each person could hear the word of God's love for them. As the world changes around us, and as we are tempted toward the inaction of despair or apathy or the rashness of angry reaction, we gather here in this room to hear a word that cuts through that noise, to hear a word that resonates as a native language resonates. You are a child of God. And in a world that changes in so many ways that we cannot predict, in a world where so many neighbors have come so much closer, in a world where we touch and shape each other's lives more than ever before, we gather here to hear this word that holds us in the midst of this changing world. This word assures us in our uncertainty and joins us in our anxieties. This word counters the word of the world that we must hold fast to the lines of language and nation and ideology and orientation, and instead gives us a name that is eternal. And this word sends us from this place empowered as heirs of Christ, as children of the God who promises to stay with us forever. This word, "You are a child of God," invites us into participation with the ongoing work of God in Christ Jesus, the work of encounter, the work of loving relationship with those we meet. Held by this word, sent by this word, speaking this word, we are able to resist that urge to despair or angst, and instead to be drawn toward one another, to meet one another as we are, as we deeply are, as beloved children of God. And as we do so, we join our voice to the reality of God's Spirit still speaking and moving in this world.